Hey, this is Evan Longoria of your San Francisco Giants, and you're listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the three-time world champion, San Francisco Giants. Let's go, Giants! Let's go, Giants! With hosts Chad King and Eric Nathanson. This is TortureCast.
It's Tuesday, August 31st, 2021, and this is episode 236 of the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. I'm your host, Chad King, and I have a question for my co-host, Eric. How you doing today, by the way?
Doing all right. Fire away.
So, what if I told you the Giants had the best record in all of the land, had just won 9 consecutive series before finally losing a series to Atlanta, and will have their best month of the year, despite already having a monthly winning percentage of 600 or more for every month for the first time since the 1950s.
Wow.
That's in Major League Baseball, not just the Giants, right? All teams. Right. Wouldn't you say things are going fairly well for the Orange and Black? I mean, that when I put it in those context, I mean, it can't get much better than that, right?
You'd think that it was no problem. The Giants had a 10-game lead, and they were running away with the division, and they had nothing to sweat behind them. But as we've seen with this month of greatness stacked on the other months of greatness, the Dodgers are right there in the rearview mirror, and it's frustrating as a Giants fan. It's fun to be the best team in baseball, but when you have another team breathing down your neck like they do, it makes everything so much bigger. And I was just saying right before we came on the air, every game feels big right now, because the Dodgers are right on their tail. Like, usually we'd be like the White Sox. We'd just be stacking wins and talking about how they can rest their bullpen and rest their starters at the end of September. And instead, as we're about to get into it, there is so much news and so many different things to talk about with the Giants that nothing is really set in stone whatsoever. And so, yeah, it's great. We got the best team in baseball, but it's a little freaky. The Dodgers are right there behind them.
Yeah, things really blew up in the San Francisco clubhouse yesterday. Let's put it that way. Figuratively and pretty much literally, but we'll get to that in just 1 second. But the Giants went 4-3 this week since we last recorded. They finished the road trip at 6-3. They now stand at an MLB best 84-47. What? That's just insane. That's their first winning season, of course, since 2016. But during this time, they have lost a full game to the Dodgers, only now 1.5 games back. Pretty scary. And that's after they lost 2 of 3 to Colorado at home, and Colorado's got like one of the worst road records in the major league. So thank you, Colorado. Otherwise, the Dodgers might be in first place right now. But yeah, now the Giants have lost 3 out of 4 games after winning 9 straight series. They've been in first place for 118 straight days, and it will be 119 after today. But after that, we really don't know. And the Giants are having their best month, like I just said, of the entire season. And every month has been 600 or better. They're going to end it at 19-9 or 20-8 after tonight's game. That's crazy, Eric. I mean, that's just a stellar record. But, I mean, let's get to it. I happened to cover the game yesterday. I went to Oracle Park, and it was a very kind of almost like a macabre feeling. Like, you could feel the wind collectively sucked out of the dugout. It was that kind of ominous feeling. I mean, I don't know why, but it was just the way the reporters were acting. And of course, Gabe's tone, if you saw any of the video, but he came out with PR guy Matt Chisholm, and kind of they were speaking to the side. I think they were getting their, you know, like what to say and not to say.
Story straight, right? Yeah.
Their story straight. Of course, I didn't overhear anything they said. And then Gabe sat down and he said, all right, well, I might as well get right to it. You know, Alex Wood has tested positive for COVID-19. And he's actually apparently fairly sick. Not in the hospital sick, but he's very symptomatic. And he's pissed. He's really, really pissed that this has happened to him. I don't know. He wouldn't, of course, disclose his vaccination status. I guess we did learn that Donovan Solano was indeed vaccinated and is actually one of the more careful guys around the clubhouse, often being double masked and what have you. So,
oh, wow.
Solano's really upset because he thought he was taking all the necessary precautions and he still got it. Now, he's still back in New York in a hotel room quarantining and apparently exercising with a medicine ball. And I guess he uses a kind of an Apple Watch type device to track his food and his exercise. So I guess he's a little bit of a health nut. But he's doing all right. And he'll obviously be back on the team at some point. But then we also learned that Johnny Cueto was experiencing flu-like symptoms, but he did test negative for COVID-19. And as of a half an hour ago, I don't know if you've seen anything that's changed. He might be on the hill tonight. But here's the problem, Eric. They basically had five starters. And yes, occasionally they've had a bullpen game. But now they've taken Alex Wood out of it. They might have to take Johnny Cueto out of it. And we really don't know how this is going to have a cascading effect on the bullpen, even though they do have the September roster expansion tomorrow, where they get to add two more to the roster. That'll be a big help, obviously, for them. But yesterday was they had to clamor, and they ended up spot starting Jose Alvarez, who hadn't allowed a run in like 20 consecutive appearances or something like that. I mean, he was really moving. Yeah, 20 scoreless appearances since July 9th until he wasn't a bad guy to, you know, just like last minute, you know, kind of like, who am I going to choose, right? And then Tommy La Stella had some side tightness, and so they called up Vossler. And that was actually pretty interesting. So he comes up. Vossler comes up out of the tunnel, and then Pavs is there, Alex Pavlovich, and he's all, "Hey, Jason, how you doing?" He's all, "Hey, doing pretty good." He's all, "Huh, you're here, huh?" He's all, "Yeah, I'm here." He's all, "I was on the taxi squad." And he's all, "So, are you being activated or not?" And he's all, "Honestly, I don't know yet." He's all, "But I'm excited." Like, it was really kind of funny to see a Major League Baseball player who is in that limbo, right? He came to the park. He was getting some sniff. He was getting some odor, but he couldn't confirm anything because he hadn't been told yet. But to see his like face light up when Alex was asking him those questions, and this is all like kind of off the record, just personal talk. But it was pretty cool to see it. And of course, yeah, he was activated because of La Stella, was hurt, and of course they called up Brebby as well to replace Alex Wood. Who else did they call up for? Oh, well, I guess Cueto wasn't put on. Any list,
no, Cueto wasn't. He was put on the injured list, quote unquote. So I think that they kept it ambivalent about what it is that he's got. So if they want to say that it's COVID related, they can still, because as we've seen the Giants do this year, they utilize these lists to their full capacity.
Yep.
So we don't know who's starting tonight, though. So we don't know if Cueto's feeling better yet. I mean, it's a TBD right now. And from all the poking around I've done, nobody seems to know yet who's starting for the Giants. It's fascinating. Vossler didn't know if he was even going to play. I love that.
That was really cool to see, yeah, because usually you think that they know. But, this team has played everything close to the vest. They make moves at the last second. And I think that's what's going to happen tonight. I mean, they're just going to play this out until perhaps Cabe comes out in the dugout again and announces it, you know, just a couple hours before the first pitch. So
I feel like you've been there when stuff breaks loose lately. You were there when Buster was hurt and announced he wasn't going to be in the All-Star game. I think there was maybe one other game. So you've got this knack for attracting news. Now, to be fair, it was their first game back after a 9-game road trip. So you would think that there's going to be a news dump for that kind of a game. But to get COVID news like we got was very unexpected. I with this team being at least 85%, I thought this was a problem we were never going to have to deal with. And this is totally something that could hamstring a team who's trying to win a division and get the best record in baseball.
Gabe Kapler, I think the more and more he has been the Giants manager and more I've heard him speak and been around him, despite some of those issues that happened back in his Dodger coaching days, as far as a person, I do think that he has a pretty healthy perspective on kind of what's important in life. You know, yeah, he's a manager of the San Francisco Giants, but at the same time, he's like, look, we were the first team to get to 85%. We are one of the most careful teams out there. We take this virus seriously. But this goes to show you that this virus basically doesn't care who you are, right? It can run rampant anywhere. And it really gives you, especially with all the people still losing their lives to COVID, it really gives you a perspective like, yeah, baseball's important, but it's not that important. We got to take care of these people and make sure that they're healthy and they don't transmit it to others, including their family and friends. And so, you know, the Giants are going to do what they have to do. But there was some questions as to, like, and I think all of us, I think society fell into this trap, especially when the virus itself went down in the summer or in the June-ish area. You know, we were at all-time lows since the pandemic started, and mask mandates were going away, and people were getting vaccinated, stores weren't requiring. I think everyone kind of just took their foot off the gas, so to speak, and it opened that, it cracked that door, you know? It cracked that door with everyone kind of going back to the way that things used to be, and the virus took off again. The Giants players, same thing. Like, back in June, I didn't see anyone from staff wearing a mask at all, right?
No.
We were in the dugout.
I was curious. Were they wearing masks yesterday?
Every single person.
Wow.
Every single person, obviously including Kapler himself. When Buster Posey came out, this is in late June when it was kind of in that low part of the pandemic, that's when they stopped requiring masks indoors in San Francisco, if you're vaccinated anyway. All of the reporters in the dugout, not one was wearing a mask. And Buster Posey wasn't either. And he was like kind of looking around when he sat down. He's like, wow, I'm surprised none of you are wearing masks. And they're like, oh, we can put it on if you want, Buster. And he's like, oh, no, I love it. It's great. No worries.
Buster's sitting there thinking, wow, I thought y'all were the liberal media. Where's your masks?
I think that's what he was saying without saying, right? He was I thought you guys were going to be like, you know, the sheep and put all your masks on. But, you know, but we weren't. So he was surprised by that. But yeah, yesterday, I mean, first of all, San Francisco is back to a mask mandate indoors, but you don't have to wear them outdoors. So the dugout's not technically indoors, but I think out of the abundance of caution, even though they still allowed the press to have access to the field only with vaccination, by the way, when you get your press pass, I actually have to bring my vaccination card and I hand it to the person. They put a special holographic sticker on your press pass that indicates that you're vaccinated. So when you go down to the field, the security guy just looks at your lanyard, make sure you have that little sticker on, and then allows you onto the field. So that's, you know, not a mandate, but it's like kind of the carrot, right? That's the carrot to the media to get vaccinated. So even though we're probably all safe out there, and even in the dugout, everyone crowds around. It's understandable. Every single person put on their mask. And of course, Kapler had his mask on as well. But anyway, getting back to the point, it was just kind of felt like it was a collective gut punch to the San Francisco Giants. And, you know, again, this team's hashtag is resilient SF, or I'd still love yours. There's just so much better. Resilient AF. This is going to be another one of those tests, because now their starting pitching is going to be tried. They're going to have bullpen options. They're going to have to be creative. They just signed Jose Quintana. They claimed him off of waivers from the Angels. And we'll see what that lefty can do in terms of spot starting or helping in the bullpen. And what's really kind of not scary, that's the wrong term, concerning, is this string of these four games against the Brewers and then the three against the Dodgers. I mean, some of the best pitching they're going to face all year. And it's right when their bats went cold and right when their starting pitching is being whacked. And so even though the Giants have not lost more than four in a row this year, and they've just been the most consistent team in baseball. Their winning percentage in the first half was .640. Their winning percentage in the second half is .643. I mean, these guys are just like even Steven, man. Like, they just don't have super high. They haven't won more than six in a row, right? The Yankees just reeled off 13 in a row. The Orioles just lost 19 in a row. The Giants are not subject to those super highs and super lows. But by the other side of the coin, I could see this stretch where they lose like five or six out of seven. I really could see it happening. I'm not trying to be a downer. I'm not, because they still got Logan Webb going once. They got Gosman going. I'm sure one or two of these games, the offense is going to pick it up, but they're going to be facing some stiff competition.
this timing of having losing Wood, having Cueto be sick, all this COVID stuff, Donnie being out, Longo being hurt. He should be able to come back soon, though. This stretch, it's just bad timing with the Giants. It really is. And I'm with you. I would not be shocked to see them lose, you know, 5 of 7 this week or something like that. They could lose 3 or 4 to Milwaukee, and they could lose 2 or 3 to LA very easily. And it's really, it's frustrating and a shame because they've worked so hard to get to this point that some of the stuff that's happening, like the COVID coming in, is almost out of their power. It's, you know, the fact that they went on a road trip and then guys picked it up is also very telling. It wasn't something that, you know, was in San Francisco or around the team. It happened to be when they were out somewhere else. It's just, it's horrible timing for all this stuff to happen. You know, we don't know who's pitching tonight. You're right. Webb is pretty much a lock, but nobody is after that. You know, I don't trust Gausman going out there anymore.
Unfortunately, you know,
Wood, yeah. Right. Wood was pretty dependable, but now he's sick. DeSclafani back on the IL. Cueto, who knows where he's going to be from a day-to-day status. So there are going to be a lot of these bullpen games. And I thought the bullpen did a fantastic job yesterday. You know, it's really something, too, on Sunday when they got smoked and they brought in Austin Slater to pitch and Sammy Long threw 90 pitches. Like, they would not have gotten through yesterday if Sammy Long had not delivered on Sunday and done what he needed to do. So even in losses, the Giants are doing, I don't want to say spectacular things, but above and beyond type things. So it's really, I think this is their stretch. They finally could lose a bunch of games. And since they're playing the Dodgers head-to-head, it's totally possible that they finally lose the division lead sometime this week.
Yeah, it certainly could happen. Obviously, things can – it's baseball. Weirder things have happened. You know, Barry Zito beat Justin Verlander, whatever. But point being, it could be a bad week for the Giants, but – you know, if their resiliency kicks in again, maybe we'll be talking next week and they'll still have a 2.5, 1.5 game lead. And we'll be like,
yeah,
why did we sweat last week so hard? They split Milwaukee. They took 2 out of 3 from LA and they're okay. You know, it's not that bad, but that's what I think they're going to have to do is to tread water. Even if they slip a little bit behind the Padres or the Dodgers, it's just the fact that these are the last three games that those teams have against each other for the rest of the season. And the Giants still have 10 against the Padres. It's like that imbalance there is pretty, you know, staggering. So, you know, if the Giants do fall behind the Dodgers, they have to rely on help. They don't control their own destiny. And that's the unfortunate thing. If they can maintain a lead after the Dodgers series, then technically they do control their own destiny, right? It's just staying above the Dodgers. So I think that's key number one right now because, again, they come into a wild card game against Cincinnati or San Diego or even St. Louis is creeping up, you know? Philadelphia is in the ballpark, whatever. Any of those teams would be coming to San Francisco for a one-game playoff, which is actually interesting because the Giants have, you know, they've only been on the road for their two previous wild card elimination games. Yeah, it's just one of those things where it sucked to win 100 games and be out after one loss. But, you know, that's what the Giants have to live with. And I think that's why this COVID thing really sucks. Like you said, it's just super bad timing right now because this is going to affect so much of their production this week and probably the bottom line results.
This feels like this week feels like a microcosm of just life in general as a person. How many times do we all think to ourselves, oh my God, I just got to get through this week. If I can through this week, things are going to be all right. You know, I'll be all right next Monday. I can focus forward again and take care of what I need to, but this is going to be a hellish week. And I've had those weeks. I'm sure you have had those weeks. And the Giants are having one of those weeks where they're just like, I cannot wait to get it over with. I know I got a big thing to deal with over the weekend and I'll take care of it when I need to. Too, but it's really going to be a tough week, and I can't wait for it to end. I think that's kind of the mentality you got to take because, I mean, even Logan Webb, like I said, he's like the one victory, and he's pitching Thursday against Milwaukee. We don't even get to throw him against the Dodgers.
Yeah, yeah.
And these games are so important. Like you said, three final games between the Giants and the Dodgers, and there could be a swing going either direction. So I'm hopeful, but this feels like the week from hell. And it's so funny that they're at home and we're saying that, and they have the second best home record in baseball behind the Rockies. So it's really telling that this is how hard these kind of news has hit us with the COVID and things like that. Is it's just, let's get through this week. We can focus on the Rockies and the Cubs and maybe get healthy again.
Right. So I have a question for you since you brought that up. Logan Webb is starting Thursday, and he's clearly been the Giants' ace for the last you know, 2+ months by far. And his overall season stats are really starting to catch up and be comparable to Gausman, who's, you know, stats are slowly inflating in the other direction.
Yep.
You go with the hot hand. Obviously, they've won, whatever, 11 of his last 12 starts, right? They're just on fire when he pitches. He has just been money, money, money. Even when, like, when Flores makes an error and they got runners on the corners, he gets out of the situation. He's got so much more command now and so much more confidence in his several of those pitches. And it's been really surprising to see him rise to this, to the occasion. That said, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, because you'd think you might delay him a start to face the Dodgers, but that's not what Kapler's doing. It's, look, a win is a win, of course, but if you're winning as the Dodgers, it's a guaranteed loss for them, and it's that two-game swing kind of thing. So I'm a little surprised he's not pushing him back, but at the same time, you know, maybe the theory is he'll get an extra start throughout the end of the year. I don't know. I haven't done the math, but every time you delay, people start here, start there, suddenly they're 3 days back and maybe they'll actually be short a start or something. So it's going to be crazy, but we don't know what the Giants pitching staff is going to look like this week. We really don't know, other than Gausman and Webb going. I mean, the rest of it's kind of like, eh? I don't know. It's going to be day to day, you know.
Well, Giants, I think that's the problem.
Day to day.
That's why the Webb can't be pushed back. Probably, I think Cueto yesterday might have screwed that all up. I think there possibly was internal discussions about it, but you know, I also agree with the approach of you got to win today. Like, you know, you mentioned it. Like, the Dodgers did this to themselves the other day. Instead of pitching Urias on Sunday against the Rockies, they pushed him a day and had him face the Braves last night. And while it paid off that they beat the Braves last night, the Dodgers had another golden opportunity to gain a game on Sunday, and they lost to the Rockies and even put in Justin Turner to pitch instead of having just the regular guys go. And it backfired in my mind to the Dodgers. So I do like the approach of, you know, you got to get the win now. If Thursday is Logan Webb's day, then you just go with Thursday and you try to win the games he's starting and you do what you can on the other days. I mean, like you said, we don't know who's starting most of the games this week. Yeah. Webb and Gausman are technically the only two healthy starting pitchers right now, and they're scheduled to go Wednesday and Thursday this week. So everything else, the entire Dodger series is up in the air. Like, whoever starts tonight should be starting the back end of the Dodger series next Sunday, and we don't know who that's going to be.
Yeah, we don't know that either. I know that Walker Buehler is going tonight against Atlanta. Tomorrow's going to be Max Scherzer. I believe they have an off day on Thursday, and then of course they come into San Francisco for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So Buehler can definitely pitch that third game against the Giants. That would be on his normal rest. The Giants will not see Max Scherzer for sure if he starts on Wednesday. So at least they'll avoid Scherzer, but probably going to be a Urias, a Buehler, and someone else. But you know, the Dodgers themselves, they basically have kind of a core three starters they've been going with, and they've been filling it in with other bullpen games. So the Dodgers are kind of doing that too. And Dave Roberts explained it's really just about getting the adequate rest for everyone.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah, right?
Gabe said the same thing. We're going to try to get our guys to rest. That's why the Giants do a lot of the things that the Dodgers do.
Yep. So, you know, it's not surprising. Yeah, so Urias obviously went yesterday. And prior to that was, Mitch White. He went. So I think he's a Bellarmine alum, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, that's the high school I went to.
I'd never heard of him before the other day. I turned on the game. I'm like, who the hell is this pitching for the Dodgers? But you're right. They have been pretty much going with openers and bullpen games. They've got Johnny Holstaff going like two games a week right now. And that's, you know, that's fine for now. In the postseason, they'll be fine with a three-headed monster.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's the thing. Is they're just trying to survive the season, just like the Giants. And both teams just keep happening to win these games that they need to win. You know, the Giants have won a few of their bullpen games this year, so they're not all automatic throwaways.
Yeah. It's funny to see these Dodger pitcher names, the three Colorado games. It's pretty crazy, right? You did not have an Urias, a Buehler, or a Scherzer go any of those games. Nope. And the Dodgers lost 2 of 3. So, what are you going to do? You know, to like the worst road team in all of baseball. So, yeah. So if Cueto does not go tonight, which we won't know probably for some time, it's going to be another bullpen game. Like you said, Sammy Long was a hero the other day, throwing 90 pitches. So he's clearly out of the equation. Yeah. You know, you won't have a few others that pitched yesterday that can't go today. But I think Gabe is just madly scrambling with his coaching staff and with Farhan going, all right, we got to look forward the next 6-7 games. What's the plan of attack? What are the possible chess moves? Because, you know, that's what Farhan does. He's like, okay, if scenario A happens, we're going to do this. If scenario B happens, we do this. If scenario C happens, we do this. And if a curveball comes in, these are the other contingency plans. You know, they just have that shit mapped out. They got it ready to go. And this is including using the COVID injury list, claiming off of waivers, you know, signing some you know, some old fart from somewhere. I mean, it's just, I don't know, maybe you'll get a phone call. Maybe you can go up to San Francisco and throw a couple innings, you know, warm up the old rag there. So
might as well see if I can get it up over 70.
I have to admit, I've never seen baseball like the 2021 San Francisco Giants. It's been both infuriating in some ways because it seems like watered down in a sense when you have like 95 players on the roster at some point. And like half of them aren't even on the team or on the roster anymore. They're with other teams or they're in somewhere else.
It's this list of players is amazing. You go through it with the randoms like Talkman and Sky Bolt and Chatwood, you know, Scherfy. These are random Gregory Santos. You know, these are random names that are going to be 52 players they've used this year. 52 different players.
Forever Giant.
Right?
Don't let the just door like, hit you on the ass. Yeah.
Dan Uggla.
Oh, my
was.
God. Dan Uggla. And you that's know, the thing.
But that's.
It's a lot of World Series rings if they win it.
Yeah, it is. That I thought about that too. It's legit a lot of money they have to spend. And what's crazy about it though is that this team with all these moving parts, they could have a series like last week in New York, where honestly they played crap defense for most of the series. They put themselves in position to lose multiple times, and they won all three games. You know, and I thought that showed the resiliency on their part to be able to still hang in those games and take care of business when they needed to. Like whenever a starting pitcher seems to get to them, they wait them out and they wait till they can get to the bullpen. And the Mets series was very indicative of doing things like that. And it was just, you had a really good feeling taking two or three from the A's and then going to New York and sweeping them. Yeah. That heading into Atlanta, I thought to myself, losing two out of three to Atlanta would be absolutely fine. Let's just try to steal one game, come out with a 6-3 road trip and be good about it. And that's exactly what ended up happening. But that Mets series, with all the news that's happened and then this weekend in Atlanta, that Mets series feels like it was 3 weeks ago at this point.
It does, but I tell you what, the Mets are gonna Met, and the Giants got them at the right time. They really did. I mean, the Giants tried to lose those games. They did not play good baseball. They did not play. They were like, here, Mets, here, take it. And then Mets are just like dropping it on the ground, going, I don't know what to do with this. Like, seriously, they gave them like 5 outs in the 9th inning. They like gave them, I mean, it's like, it goes on and on and on, and the Mets just couldn't even take one game. So I think the Giants, you know, have to feel very fortunate they won all three games, let alone two. I mean, they shouldn't have won. They should have lost two of those games. I'm sorry. The Giants should have lost two of those games, and they didn't.
It was the game that ended with the McGee-Alonso battle, and because it's the Mets, it was a total torture inning. It was literally the type of inning that this podcast was named for, because they get out of torture jams. That was the whole point of torture in the first place, and McGee got out of it. And I wasn't sweating it though the entire time because the Mets.
Isn't that funny?
It is. It's so weird. Like I watched that so calmly. I was not like everybody was freaking out.
They got
it. I'm like, he's gonna figure it out. Plus, Alonso himself, somewhere in the middle of the series, he changed his approach. He tried to hit the ball out of the yard every time. Early in the series, he was trying to go the opposite way and take any holes that he could. And then suddenly he just started trying to hit home runs. I think he was getting frustrated from the stretch of 2 weeks of playing the Dodgers and the Giants. And he just wanted to let out some shaft. And it did not work out to his advantage. And the fact that the Giants really came away with those wins, I mean, that's the difference in the division right now, is winning those games in New York.
Yeah. No, for sure. That's they were massive. And it gave them that padding. Like you said, they won two of three in Oakland. you know, a good ball club. They sweep the Mets. They go in Atlanta having won 5 of 6 on the road trip. So I was the same. I had the same feeling as you did. If they lose 2 out of 3 to Atlanta, it's okay. That's a 6-3 road trip. My God, that's fantastic. Yep. Like, it's great to go, you know, go 500 on the road, let alone 6-3. So, yeah, there was no ill will there, and it was fine. They got out of Atlanta. I was like, okay. They lost their first series in 10 series. They won 9 series in a row, guys. Because, like, yeah. You saw people before the COVID news yesterday. It was like Chicken Little. They lost 2 of 3 to the Braves, but we're better than them. How could that happen? It's like, it's baseball. And freaking Rockies.
They're a first-place ball club. The Braves are on a roll right now. Like, they are in that stretch of season where they're making their push. So, I mean, it's understandable. The Braves, if the Giants face off these two this whole week, Braves, Brewers, Dodgers, you know, it's literally a preview of the teams they're going to see in the postseason. And, you know, I think losing 2 of 3 to Atlanta gives them a little more incentive to beat the crap out of Atlanta when they come to San Francisco later next month, I should say, since today's still August. But it's the time that they're facing the team. So they deserve to lose 2 of 3 to a team that's better than and playing better baseball than they are right now. You know, mm-hmm. those Braves right-handed sluggers are no joke, man. They hit the ball far. Soler has been a great addition to that lineup. That guy is instant offense.
Yeah. And they're, I forget the third baseman. He's got like 24 bombs this year.
Austin Riley. Yeah.
Thank you, Riley. Yeah. He actually really impressed me because I hadn't really seen him play.
Same.
He's good. He is good. That kind of might be a future star in the making there. But
yeah, that was the type of series like we've seen. This whole week is like the Astros series, the A's series. You know, these teams, these slugfests, you know, these slugfests, and I mean like a boxing match, not necessarily a home run fest. The Giants get into these slugfests. Last night's game that you were at, it was another one of those punch, counterpunch type games, even though the Giants couldn't get it back together. They had their golden opportunity in the 7th inning, and they blew it. And then they ended up giving up one more run. You know, it was the Brewers stepping up in their situation. But that's what they're in. They're in playoff baseball right now. Every series, every game is a playoff game at this point. And I think that's why the fan base and everybody else gets so excited over 2 losses and thinks that the sky is falling. You know, they lost 3 of 4. When was the last time they lost 3 of 4? It's been like 2 months.
It was so right after the All-Star break. They lost 3 out of 4. And it was actually 3 out of 5, but I mean, there was a section of 4 games they lost 3 out of. So yeah, it's been a while.
I see it now. Yeah, that's funny. When they lost to St. Louis and then lost 1 to the Dodgers, that's hilarious.
Yeah. So it's been a long time since they've been on a bit of a losing not streak, but pattern, very small one at that.
It's just so amplified because of the Dodgers. I mean, I hate to continually talk about them, but it is so amplified because of the Dodgers. If the Dodgers weren't winning at this pace, we wouldn't be sweating losing 2 of 3 to Atlanta and then freaking out about this Milwaukee series. We'd be like, all right, let's just rest the guys and head for the home stretch. But the Giants don't have that luxury.
No, because they'd have an insane lead over almost any other team in baseball. Yep. So their best record in all of baseball, the Rays actually now own the second best record. They are 1 game behind the Giants as opposed to 1.5 for the Dodgers. So that's kind of new there. Milwaukee, that's a good team. They're third best in the National League right now, 4.5 yep. back of the Giants. And then you go Houston at 6, Yankees at 8, White Sox at 8.5, Boston at 10, A's at 12, Atlanta at 13.5. So you can see a pattern here. Yeah. I mean, it's like most other divisions, the Giants would have a minimum 4.5, 5-game lead. Some of them, they'd have 8, 9, 10-game lead right now.
And they're literally playing every National League team over the course of 10 days that you just mentioned. 10 days straight against the Braves, Brewers, and Dodgers. Those are the 3 NL teams right behind them in the standings. I mean, if they get through this, they should win. This should be the division-winning moment if they can get through this week. But like I said, that's what sucks with all the news yesterday. Now it just feels like a week you want to get through.
Yep, just got to put the head down and get through it. So, we kind of made it light on the series review just because of the importance of what has happened, you know, yesterday. But I know that you came across some news. Ron Wotus, you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, apparently Wotus is going to step away from coaching after this year. The longest tenured Giants coach in Giants history will be stepping away. Personally, I think he'll end up in a front office job. He's a baseball lifer, you know, talking to other buddies who cover games. Wotus is the guy to talk to. He sits there on the bench with his fungo bat waiting for you to sit down and talk to him, and I love that. He's that kind of baseball lifer. So Wotus, I mean, maybe he just doesn't think third base is where he wants to be, and a little secret for people who might not realize it, but he's the man that positions the defense, and he has, even back in the Bochy days, he had a knack for it. So that is something the Giants are going to have to replace in the offseason as far as his coaching. I mean, third base coach, you can definitely find somebody else, but the fact that Wotus is such a genius at it, so, you know, I'll miss him being an integral part of the Giants, but, you know, it's a shame he never got that managerial chance, not just in San Francisco, anywhere else. He really should have gotten more interviews.
Yeah, I mean, he is one of those guys. He's a great guy, like you said, a baseball lifer. I am somewhat surprised he never got that shot, you know, never got that shot. But now he's going to step away a little bit. Yeah, I'm sure, like a lot of these guys, the baseball is in their blood. They can't just cut their arm off and be okay.
Nope.
It's not going to happen. He's got to have some sort of taste of baseball somehow. So yeah,
Ron Wotus will be at spring training next year in some capacity. I have no doubt about that.
I will say, yesterday, despite the kind of depressing news amongst the media and the really well-connected fans who follow this stuff, you know, most of the ballpark is not going to be filled with fans that care as much about it, or maybe don't realize the impact, or maybe didn't even hear that Alex Wood and others, you know, like, this is going on. They're just there for a baseball game. And even though it wasn't a sellout last night, which, by the way, they're close to sellout for the entire Dodger series. Now, unfortunately, a lot of it might be second market, you know, tickets that Dodger fans bought, unfortunately. So we're probably going to see a lot of blue in the stands of Oracle this weekend. But I will say, that was a playoff atmosphere last night. It was despite not having, you know, starter and very little offense. I mean, the game was 2-0, you know, all the way until the seventh, when the Giants finally cracked through with a Brandon Crawford seeing eye single. And then they had runners on first and second with nobody out. And now you're sensing it. You're sensing it. Like, this is the moment. This is what they're going to do. This is the resiliency of this team. And it just didn't happen. It just didn't happen. You had the pop up and the strikeout and the line drive. My God, Darren Ruff crushed that ball. Man, he crushed that ball right off the bat. It was like, oh, but then you just saw it kind of heading right towards the left fielder. He didn't have to move a whole lot for that one. But, you know, that was a thing where the launch angle makes such a difference, right? He gets 5 degrees on that. It's gone. It's a 3-run home run.
Yeah,
and the Giants suddenly lead. Yeah, 4-2. So Lamont Wade Jr. had a smoking line drive at the first baseman with a runner on second as well. That would have scored a run. I mean, the Giants had their opportunities, and they actually made contact in a couple of those opportunities. It just didn't find holes, right? But
yeah,
on
Dick
the flip
was
side,
the key to that.
Yeah, Dick, it's true. It's true.
Well, you know, here's
and he went
here's
trending
a quick
last
aside.
Night too. By the way,
oh really?
Alex Dickerson was trending on Twitter last night. Believe it or not.
Well, it's funny because, you know, I was listening at that moment. I happened to be in the shower, and I screamed out when he popped up. I was like, "Damn it! I'm so tired of Dick in these situations. He never comes through." And I decided to go look up the numbers. And I'm completely wrong. He's 303 with runners in scoring position.
Yeah.
He's hitting 303 with runners in scoring position, 286 with runners in scoring position and two outs. And which means he is coming through in these situations. Just anecdotally, it seemed like he wasn't. So, you know, I'm so frustrated with Dickerson, but apparently he's coming through when he's supposed to. So he may have been the key to blowing the inning last night, but he's helped out in other ways. But I was so frustrated to have the numbers completely lie to what my eyes are telling me.
Mark Willard was listening to Mark Willard on my way home, and he was talking about how Alex Dickerson was trending on Twitter, and one of the reasons is because I didn't look at the article. He was just reading it, but it was some Yahoo Sports article, and he was laughing because he's like, you know, when people who write articles or leads, you can tell they don't know much about the topic they're writing on because they don't use the right words. It's kind of like, he made the touchdown. You don't make a touchdown. You score a touchdown, right? It's like, you know, he didn't make the run. Apparently, that's what the lead said or something. It said, like, Alex Dickerson fails to make a run and only has one hit in three at-bats. And that was like the synopsis of how he failed. And so he was having fun with it going, first of all, you make a career of going 1-for-3 and you're a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And second of all, you don't make a run.
So. You don't fail. You know, it was funny. I watched the TBS broadcast on Sunday of the Giants game, and they gave some anecdote that Yastrzemski is known as Little Yaz around the Bay Area. And all I could think is, we don't ever call him Little. Nobody calls him. He's just Yaz.
He's just Yaz. Yeah.
Right. And so it really, these national writers, they really, you know, and this is not going to be a gripe fest about these national people not giving the Giants respect, because a lot of the articles of this is how the Giants are doing it are now coming out, but it really does go to show the Giants snuck up on people and they really haven't done their homework on what's going on. Little Yaz, no, he's just Yaz, doesn't sound right. So, you know, that's going to happen a lot, guys, because we're going to get a lot of national play in the next month and a half.
Ken Rosenthal was there yesterday, so he was standing up on top of the dugout, and I just went up and said hi to him real quick, and we didn't really chat. But I overheard him talking with Amy G and Chris Bryant and a couple others. I was like kind of being that fly on the wall, like I'm totally not listening to you. I'm only 8 feet away, but I am, you know, kind of thing. So it's kind of fun to listen to those dynamics. But yeah, he's here on a national assignment from Fox to do a thing about the Giants. And of course, this morning he published an article in The Athletic about how the Giants are built, and this may be the future. I haven't read the whole thing. I know you have a subscription to The Athletic. I don't know if you've had a chance to read it yet, but just the headline suggests that basically the way the Giants have built this team might be the way that a lot of teams do this going into the future. So, but
it should be. I mean, look at what the Giants do. They grind at bats. They see pitches. They wait for their first pitch. They have one approach before two strikes. They have another approach after two strikes. They fit guys into positions that are more advantageous to those guys' strengths. And instead of just saying, okay, you're our second baseman, you go out there. So I can totally see how it would be. I'm very curious to go read that. I wish I'd read that before we recorded today, but I had a really, really long night last night and was barely able to roll out of bed to record today. So I did not get a chance to do research this morning.
No worries. Yeah, that's one of those things. That's why we are lacking highlights, video highlights and audio highlights today, because I got home from the yard very late last night after midnight. And of course, you know, I do have a full-time job, so I've had to work, you know, most of the morning, so we are lacking that. But given what happened yesterday in the news, I thought we would more focus on that as well. As far as transactions are concerned, we've covered a lot of them. Jose Quintana, of course, was acquired off waivers from the Angels yesterday. Vossler was called up, and again, I told that story of him thinking he was going to be activated, and he was really excited about it. Alex Wood, of course, on the DL, or the I keep saying DL. We're so used to that. We're so programmed. Your whole life, it's the DL, the DL. And it's like, no, you can't say that anymore. It's the IL. Because, of course, COVID-19, Johnny Cueto is still on that COVID-related injured list for symptoms. Brebbia was called up. He pitched an inning last night. Tyro Estrada was sent back down. Tyler Chatwood, DFA'd. Brandon Bell, of course, played yesterday. Was reinstated from bereavement. Yeah, we have some names that I barely even knew that are on here that I'm not even going to read because it's like,
I don't even bother.
It's irrelevant. Yeah. Disco is back as of a couple of days ago, but we'll see what happens. And then Gausman was off the COVID-19 injured list from an adverse reaction to a shot. You know, we'll see if that was.
Yeah. All right, so the roster, so tomorrow the roster expands from a whole 26 to 28. Are you of the mindset like I am that one of those two roster spots needs to be filled by a backup catcher and then you just put another arm in the bullpen?
Yeah, so that's a really, really good question. I think it's probably a good idea to have Tromp always there. Just, you know, cruising the rest of the way with two may not do it. The only caveat to that, though, is now with their starting pitching potentially being messed
that's
up.
That's true.
for the meantime, for the interim, the next 7 to 10 days, maybe they need to have two more arms. Well, I know they can only have a max number of pitchers on the roster. It's not like you can load it up with, you know, we have 9 or 8 position players and the rest of the roster are pitchers. I know you can't.
I think it might be 15, though. When the rosters expand to 28, it would make sense if it's 15 pitchers and 13 position players to me. If those are
that's
caps. Maybe
really
it's 14 and 14.
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah. This is relatively new, of course, going to just 28, because, of course, way back in the past, it went from 25 to 40.
Yeah.
40. And I got to tell you, if I was a minor leaguer now, I'd be pissed. Like, if you're right on that precipice of, like, potentially getting a call-up in September, now there's only 2 called up instead of 15. That really hurts your chances for that.
It used to be a reward.
Cup of coffee. Yeah, exactly.
Right. It used to be a reward, and now you can't reward as many guys. You know, Buster probably would not have come up in September 09 if they had these. You know, maybe he would have because he's a catcher, and that follows my other point. But just as an example, that's a bad example, apparently. But, you know, some guys that come up, you know, Bochy never would have had his moment with his kid if the rosters didn't expand to 40.
That's a good point.
It's kind of taken away some of those magical moments from guys that are only going to get that shot one time.
Yeah. It's a shame from that point of view of, like, you always root for those kids who probably are never going to make it to the majors. It's kind of cool that they can tell their grandkids that, you know, I had a third of an inning, I had one at bat, I had, you know, whatever it may be, that one year with, you know, with the roster call-ups. Now it's just, you know, good luck. You're going to be permanently stuck in AA for 15 years and then, you know, go back to bagging groceries. Sucks for them. So that's about it for injuries and transactions. It's quite the week, Eric. This is a, you know, 24 hours ago, I had no idea there'd be this, like, ominous cloud over the Giants clubhouse. But again, it's not like this is the worst thing in the world. The Giants and other teams are dealing with injuries all the time. I mean, look at, you know, the Angels lost Trout, right? You know, all these guys are dropping like flies. The Dodgers have dealt with injuries and that's what you have to look at it. It's like, okay, it's another injury to Alex Wood, maybe to a Johnny Cueto. But at least it's not Logan Webb, who has COVID, right? And then knock on wood, right? I mean, that's the thing. So yesterday, not only were we all wearing masks in the dugout, but on the field, there was a good third of the players wearing masks, like, around the cages and stuff like that. And that's just something I'd never seen before. So that was a clear sign to me that they're rattled a little bit. You know, even the players are, like, looking left and looking right going, shit, I don't want this. Like, even though I'm vaxxed, I'm going to mask up now while I'm outside. Because they don't want to catch it. So
I mean, and that's not what you want your team to be thinking about right now.
Yeah.
You know, you're at the home stretch of a baseball season, and this added wrinkle, I mean, COVID, it sucks. It has dominated so much of our lives over the last year and a half that the fact that it just won't go away is annoying more than anything. And I hope Alex Wood feels better. It really sucks that he's not feeling, like, really well with something like this. But thankfully, it's not a hospital thing. You know, but I totally get it. The Giants players are worried about an outbreak, and I would be too. I would be masking. If I was going to the yard as a reporter as well, I'd be masking up. Sitting outside, I'm not sure, but I might be as well. I mask up everywhere I go here in Nevada now again. So, you know, it seems just to be the thing to do.
Yeah. So, always try not to get political, but as far as I'm concerned, we run this podcast. Obviously, we can say whatever the hell we want. These statements about masks and vaccines are not political because it's science. It's literally, if we were talking about astronomy, you know, or the rotation of the Earth, or how the moon is tidally locked to the Earth and why you can't see the other side, or what. This is just science, everyone. There's no controversy about the science. There's no doubt about the science. It's certain people that have created that doubt to serve their political purposes, unfortunately. And I really hope that all of you out there are staying safe. Get your vaccination. You know, wear your mask where you need to. Just be smart. You know, we don't need this happening. I've known several people that have passed away, others that have, you know, gotten sick, and others that got sick and didn't even change their tune about it either. You know, very stubborn people. And so that was one of the things I was talking to some Giants employees about yesterday, who will remain unnamed. They've been very frustrated by the lack of urgency of some people. The Giants as a whole are really, really, you know, they're obviously over 85% vaccinated and most of them take it seriously. But there's just always, you know, pieces and parts and people here and there that just kind of are resistant to it. So try not to be one of those people. But upcoming for the Giants, we have three more games against the Brewers. It's going to be tough. And then three against the Dodgers over the weekend. What do you expect, Eric?
I have no idea at this point. I wish I could say, you know, I expect Logan Webb to go out and pitch a great game. And that's about as far as my expectations go. Until the Giants can show me they can score runs without the home run, and they haven't been able to do that lately, I don't have confidence in this offense right now. So all I can think is Logan Webb Day is a win, and hopefully they can cobble together a couple other ones, because this is it. This is the tough week of the season. You know, get through this week and look ahead, play the Rockies. I know it's tough in Coors, but play the Rockies and Cubs next week. Get healthy. You know, the Giants love hitting a Coors Field. So, you know, the bats will probably come back around that time. So I'm expecting to see the Giants still struggle to hit with runners in scoring position over the next few days, and they might lose four of the next six.
Yeah, I'm kind of expecting a similar result. You know, four of the next six they might lose. And, you know, I think Mike Kruko put it best. It's like, look, you don't complain about the labor pains. You just look at the baby. And that's the way the Giants have been in terms of scoring runs. They've scored a lot of runs, but 55% or whatever via the long ball. And one of the deficiencies is, yeah, the runners in scoring position. And again, look, every team's going to have, you know, deficiencies in certain areas, and that happens to be one of them. And they're not atrocious. They're not at the bottom of the league. But at the same time, you know, a couple base hits here and there with runners on, you know, in scoring position with less than two outs. Yeah, it was a frustrating thing to watch last night when, you know, the several opportunities they had just, you know, didn't happen. So, but that'll do it for episode 236 of the TorchCast, slightly abbreviated one today. Thanks for joining us. Like always, we are live on Facebook, generally every Monday around noon or 12:15 Pacific. Today, of course, we went on Tuesday because I was at the game yesterday. But other than that, join us on Mondays. You can follow us collectively on Twitter at TortureCast, like us on Facebook, look at our webpage where we post everything, articles, videos, and audio podcasts. TorchCast.com, you can also find our audio podcast wherever you get your favorite podcast. Eric, anything going on?
Giants Chatter on Facebook. Join the group. We're growing. We passed 660 members, which, if you're an old Giants fan, yeah, you know that number.
It's a big number.
Yeah, it is. I was so pissed. We got to 661, and I was like, can we kick somebody out so we can be back at 660? Because I just, you know, the number's been burned in my brain forever. But Giants Chatter on Facebook, join it. And a reminder to everybody, Thursday afternoon's game against Milwaukee is on YouTube. It is not on NBC Sports locally. It is straight up just on YouTube or YouTube TV. So Thursday afternoon, 12:45 against Milwaukee on YouTube.
I better not hear any boomers out there. Oh, it's on YouTube. What are they doing here? It's on YouTube. Everyone can access YouTube. It's okay. It's not that hard.
It's not. You know, I can't complain about it. There's been so many games streamed at this point. Like, literally, they have to have figured it out by now.
Yeah. It's called the internet. You're using it right now. Come on. Just get to it. Now, I don't like the broadcasters necessarily, but
no,
you know, that's another problem for another day.
Now, hopefully, Kruko will be in the booth this time. Last time they had Sean Estes for the Giants on YouTube, so maybe they'll get Kruko this time like they did last year.
That'd be good. All right, everyone, thanks for joining us. Have a great week. Hopefully the Giants do too. Stay safe, and we'll see you next week for episode 237. Until then, a boom.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at TortureCast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying we'll see you next time.